How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. This is hour number two of the early line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside, as we are setting you up now for the Major League Baseball season, and we're going to hit the ground running. The pick six. Donnie and I had five kind of categories. We had a rotating six, though they're not the exact same, but that's all right. The message is still clear here, DRS. We're hitting the ground running. We'll be able to expand next segment. We'll get you then kind of our World Series predictions, but your MLB futures pick six.
Yeah, MLB Futures pick six. We'll keep it simple here. Me and Kevin will both give these picks out. Then we'll sort of explain ourselves when we have a little bit more time here in this episode. But let's take a look here. World Series long shot for myself. And if anybody knows the way I bet Major League Baseball, not a huge fan of, you know, betting preseason stuff, which is like winning the World Series, division titles. But it's fun to talk about and see where some of these things actually line up. And you also would know that I'm usually down on my Philadelphia Phillies. I love the Phillies team totals each and every year. They're the perfect match. Horrible bullpen, great hitting, and also have a smaller ballpark. But I got to tell you this year, something's clicking just right for the Phillies. And we take a look at a World Series long shot. We can't, you know, I'm not going to take a 60 or 70 to 1. Like, hey, let's take the Pittsburgh Pirates. Doesn't make sense. A legitimate team that if things go right, and you need ifs with long shots, it's not a sure thing. I think the Phillies have what it takes here to possibly be in the mix to win a World Series, which is all you can ask for at a 25 to 1 price. So if you get all the hitting that we expect out of the Phillies lineup, if you get a healthy Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola at the top of your rotation, and you get a bullpen that's just not categorically, historically bad, this team is going to defend in that, or to pretend to be a champion in the division and the NL and the overall World Series. I'm going to go Philadelphia Phillies 25-1. Division winner, Toronto Blue Jays. We explained it before already. I'm just looking for this team to take the next step in a talented division, which I did see some, you know, runoffs here from projections that had four teams in the AL East all with 88 wins to end the season. It's going to be a great season to watch. And maybe you do get a little bit of a bump from these COVID protocols, but we'll see. I think Toronto can do some damage here. Win total, the Padres, 89.5 at a plus 100 price. Just a few days ago, that was sitting at 88.5, but now they boosted up, and I agree with it here. This is one of those teams that should have won 90 games last year, but folded in September because they have a ridiculous overall schedule. I think things get better here for the Padres. I'm going to take that win total for them to get 90. MVP. If I think the Padres are going to win 90 games here, and I'm not trying to just say, hey, let me take Bryce Harper, somebody at the top of the line. Take a look at the MVP in the NL, Manny Machado. The Padres are going to have a big season. He's going to have to be a catalyst. Well, Donnie, Tatis Jr., he can win. He's going to take some votes away. Tatis Jr. won't be around for quite some time here. So if the Padres are good, mainly because Manny is actually having a manly dish at the plate this year, I'm going to take him 35-1. Cy Young, I need wins. And that's the first thing I look at, because gaudy statistics, 15 wins, 17 wins, 20 wins, that's going to be possible for Walker Buehler this year. I took him at a plus 950 price. He could get 20 wins this year in a division with pitchers' ballparks and a couple bad baseball teams. Sign me up on that one. Also my player prop, Trevor Story, who leaves the friendly confines of Colorado and goes to play in Boston. He can mash away 30-plus home runs here as a prop. That comes in at a plus 130 price. Pick six, ready to go here, Kevin, for Major League Baseball. What you got?
That's big-time stuff there, man. I think the Walker Buehler shout makes a lot of sense. You mentioned wins. I kind of had a similar thought process when I was looking at the Cy Young Award there. I am so fascinated by the Padres. I really am. And I'll tell you this, too, because people might think, man, if the Padres are going to be good, doesn't it have to be Tatis Jr.? No. Like, in the shortened season, Manny Machado was kind of better than Tatis Jr., and people thought it was Tatis. The radio audience is with us. We are live here on a Thursday morning, opening day of the Major League Baseball season. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, I'll fly through this, the ability to kind of expand as well. For a division winner, Give me the Minnesota Twins at plus 500. A number that if it comes down to it, maybe hedge opportunities arise, a slow start for the White Sox, and you might be able to really get after it. The reason I like this is I think this is really a two-horse race. I know the Tigers are supposed to be better. I don't think they're that ready. If the White Sox slip up, I think this Minnesota Twins, with Sonny Gray and Carlos Correa being two of the big additions for them, will be able to catch the fall. The Oakland Athletics over 67.5 wins. I know, they're bottoming out. I get it. Oakland, though, might think they can be the Tampa Bay Rays. And now that's very hard to do. But if even that's the thought process for the A's in the room, then you'll stumble into 75 wins. I don't know if Oakland is cutting payroll and hoping to be the Baltimore Orioles or cutting payroll and thinking we can do this a lot cheaper, actually, than everybody else. 67.5 for the A's. I have both MVPs in my pick six. AL MVP, Mike Trout, plus 600. This is simple. If he's healthy, he wins the award. I know Shohei's great. I know Shohei changes the game. Mike Trout wins this if he's healthy. That's how this award works. I'll take plus 600 on Trout to stay healthy. He is still baseball's best player, bar none. And in the NL, I like Trey Turner at 18-1. They're batting this guy third in the Dodgers lineup. He's going to hit 300, and he might, considering that it's Mookie and Freddie Freeman in front of him, lead Major League Baseball in RBIs. While stealing 20-plus bases and playing a great infield, Trey Turner at 18-1 is some fantastic value. Cy Young, Alek Manoah, 30-1 of the Toronto Blue Jays. I know I've slandered the Blue Jays a bit. Manoah is like the fourth guy in the rotation. He might be the best guy. He was fantastic last year. 20 starts, 15 of them, two or less runs. And he is going to rack up wins for the Toronto Blue Jays. He is a great pitcher. And then player prop, the most underrated player in baseball. Yes, underrated player in baseball, Giancarlo Stanton, over 32.5 home runs. We're talking World Series next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid's version of Silk Sonic is back in the mix right here, ready to leave the door open for some MLB futures and absolutely get after it. I mean, Donnie, did you see Silk Sonic accept the Grammy for Best Song? Did you see how they got up out of the chairs and started gliding?
I did not.
You got to watch it. You watch it. You'll
did they
watch
leave the door open,
the next...
though? Was the door open when they came up on stage?
No, they shut it on the competition real tangy from the fellas. It was fantastic. Let me quickly ask you just thoughts on kind of what I was bringing to the table for the pick six. Like I said, Don and I kind of had a rotating because long shot World Series, I struggled. I think Donnie's shot on the Phillies makes a lot of sense, but I had conviction, if you really can, on big prices in both AL and NL MVP, Donnie. I like the two LA guys. I like Trout in the AL, and I really like Trey Turner at 18-1 in the NL.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're taking a look at two guys that have legitimate chances to win, right? 600 and 18-1, which aren't bad prices at all. Imagine getting, a couple years ago, Mike Trout at a 6-1 price to win MVP and run away with it. The thing that always makes it tough for me is because the split vote factor. If Shohei Ohtani goes out and is, 12-2 this year on the mound and hits 35 home runs, a large portion of people are going to like, I'm still going to throw him a couple votes here this way, which could sway away from Mike Trout, who probably needs to be his normal self. 40 home runs, swiping bags, playing great defense. One of the best analytical guys, war of all time, is Mike Trout. And also with Trey Turner, there's so many superstars on the Dodgers. But I think what you said makes a lot of sense here. Best player on the best team. And if you are better than a Mookie Betts, if you are better than a Freddie Freeman, that's going to give you votes also. But how much of a down year could anybody else have on the Dodgers? Like, we're expecting Freddie Freeman to go to L.A. and hit, 320, 35 home runs, Mookie Betts, MVP caliber play. That's what makes it so tough because the guys you're picking are MVP caliber players, but sometimes I just get a little bit nervous about the guys around them taking votes away. That's why I sort of tried to dip all the way down to Manny Machado and say, okay, if the Padres are really good, it's one of two guys. Manny Machado is going to have a great season in the field and at the plate, or it's going to be Fernando Tatis. But at the end of the season, Manny Machado might have an extra 35 games of statistics over Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm. But I do agree where you're going, because you can start the season and say, well, who's going to do things that are going to really open your eyes? Is it going to be a surprise where Mike Trout has 10 home runs through April? I'm like, oh, my goodness, man. So good to have this guy back in baseball. So I like where you're going on that type of stuff. Yeah.
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 I mean, Trout's home run props 36 and a half. Like, I almost put, yeah. I almost made the whole thing Trout, to be honest with you. Like, yes. I almost put him as a division winner, win total over, ALM. Like, I almost put him in for Cy Young. I mean, that's just Mike Trout. Like, that guy is as good as it gets, man. Because, Donnie, when I saw that they're batting Trey third, I'm like, this guy might go 100 runs scored, 100 RBIs. Like, that, just what an opportunity. The protection in the lineup is just otherworldly. He's a 300 hitter. It's, man, it's really, really interesting. And Don and I wanted to go World Series predictions. We did this for, last year's Super Bowl predictions. And, we were certainly, in the heat of it. I think mine ultimately was Ravens-Rams. Baltimore didn't even make the playoffs. And I think Donnie had Bucks-Bills, which for a while was like the favored Super Bowl matchup, man. So we kind of wanted to run this back. I got in this morning, Donnie, and I asked Brian, I said, is Donnie's World Series winner X? And he goes, oh, yeah, it certainly is. And I can't blame you, Donnie. Your World Series prediction for 2022.
World Series prediction, the winner is going to be the Dodgers. And I don't know how – this is so hard to do, because in the NFL you get 17 games, you got injuries here. But when you have a 162-game slate here, when you have the best players in baseball, when you have an ownership group that goes, oh, if we lose Mookie Betts, I don't know, let's just go out and sign another top-flight outfielder and steal him from another organization at the trade deadline. That's what I just feel like the Dodgers are going to do. So I can't go out and say to myself – let's be honest. Like I told you, like a deep, nice long shot was the Phillies. Well, let's just take the Phillies. Would I like to root that on, Kevin? And would I like to have fun with it? Sure. But at the end of the day comes, if I'm fielding a baseball team right now heading into April, and I say to myself, which team gives me the best chance, Kevin, to win every single day, regardless of lineup? It's the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know they're going to have to go toe-to-toe with the Padres. They're going to be a very good baseball team, as I think I expect them to win 90 games. The San Francisco Giants, I don't think are going to be as good last year, but that doesn't mean the Giants can't win 85 to 90 games this year and be a very good baseball team, which you're going to run it up and try to go up against the Dodgers. But for my money, the World Series champion, I just can't overlook it. If I think they're going to win the division, if I think they're going to win the NL, well, getting to the World Series to win it, you got to get there. And if I think they get there, it's the Dodgers for me at a plus 480 price here, Kevin.
It's impossible to argue against, right? Because people might say, man, what kind of value are you getting at plus 480? Listen, at the end of the day, they're going to be in the playoffs. And they're minus 230 to win their division. There's a good chance that they're the number one overall seed. They've got the highest win total. And in terms of the National League, they've got the highest win total. So that means the Dodgers are going to be favored in every series that they have. I can't argue. I get it. If I had to, I would simply say, Donnie, that they've only been able to pull in one World Series in this run. Every year they're eliminated, though, by the World Series winner. Like, that's the bar to beat the Dodgers. Like, you have to be that good. Yeah. This team is loaded as it gets, no doubt about it. The White Sox are interesting. Certainly, as much as I picked Minnesota to win the AL Central for my division winner, that's more price than, kind of a fade of the White Sox situation. I don't think it's great that Lance Lynn's injured and Rodon is gone, but this is still a super, super talented baseball team. That Donnie also here, and here's what I like what you kind of brought to the table. Two biggest favorites to win their division. Like, if these two teams take, like, it's very likely that these teams have buys, to kind of put it into perspective for everybody, and that's a big advantage. For me, I'm going Subway Series. But as I continue to be the most unbiased man in the history of sports media, I have the Mets beating the New York Yankees in the World Series.
Subway.
Let me just quickly say on the New York Yankees, I think everybody's looking for an American League East team to bottom out. Last year, the Baltimore Orioles don't exist. The four AL East teams all won 92 games. Like, the AL East is just outrageous. And has, like, I'll tell you, like, Donnie, give me a boost, all four of them, to win, like, 85 games. I don't know what that would pay. Yeah. Maybe that's, like, too simple. But, like, all four of them to be very, very, very good is very, very live. The Yankees have the best bullpen in baseball. And truthfully, last year they had a fantastic rotation. Maybe not as big of names as we've come accustomed to, but my thing is, even if the rotation comes back a bounce, where the Yankees were bad, and honestly, I actually think no one will be able to explain this to you better than Donnie, who bet more live Yankee team totals than anybody in the world because he was betting the Yanks over a half a run, 1.5 runs, 2.5 runs, because they couldn't hit to open up games. That lineup is too talented to be that bad. Aaron Judge is a top five player in baseball. Giancarlo Stanton, when he is out there, and I know people might say, well, is he going to be out there? Well, I'm going to say yes. He was out there last year. That's going to a guy that's going to flirt with 40 home runs. I think he's got interesting odds to lead baseball in the home run leader spot as well. I like what the Yankees bring to the table. I wish I could just put AL East here, Donnie, but ultimately I landed on the Yankees. Here's my thing on the New York Mets. I know DeGrom's not there right now. If they get to the playoffs, he will be there. And so will Max Scherzer. And I have no idea how you beat them. Sometimes I think, Donnie, people overrate. Oh, pitching wins in the postseason. It does. You have to be able to hit. But I'll tap out if it's maybe the two best pitchers in all of baseball, Donnie, in DeGrom and Scherzer. You play them in a 7-game series. They're both going to throw twice. That's 4 games. That right there might be curtains. I think this might be the Mets season.
Could be the Mets season. And before, when we're going in the offseason, oh, man, look at this. Top two rotation, because nobody's going to touch them, which is always the joke where if you start a series, like, hey, 3-game series, you're getting Scherzer and DeGrom. Every team around Major League Baseball goes, when do we play the Mets? Next week. What do they do? Oh, thank goodness we only get Scherzer and we don't get DeGrom. There's going to be teams out there that are going to get DeGrom and Scherzer, but they're just not there yet. I can't bet the Mets because I expect the Mets to be injured just like they always are. And they're already having issues, Kevin.
Yeah, the one thing that makes me feel better about the Mets is the expectations are starting to be lower. I can't bet the Mets when the expectations are great things. That never works out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are live with you right here on Sports Grid, the early line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, opening day. How about it? Excited to be here, excited to break these games down. 7 on the slate. We were supposed to have 9 games. Truly, like, and also, like, the games that were canceled were, like, good games. I mean, we're supposed to start this off with Yanks, Red Sox, which would have been fantastic. It is what it is. We also lost Twins, Mariners, which, two teams that made some big moves this offseason, would have been exciting. Those teams will ultimately get in the mix. Before we hit the first game, Donnie, baseball, I've told people this. Like, this is kind of, you know, for me, your forte. Last year, getting to be with you for the lion's share of the baseball season was fantastic to kind of learn way more about betting the sport as a whole. Can you just give people a little bit of insight, your mentality, your mindset, your approach going into a Major League Baseball season?
It starts with April, Kevin, and it starts if you can be profitable in April, that means you're setting yourself up for a tremendous summer because as we talk about baseball, maybe the most statistical game there possibly is, which means when you start the season, nobody has any statistics. You could have a utility guy at the end of week one lead Major League Baseball in home runs and average and RBIs, which obviously we know throughout the length of the summer is not going to hold up. And the reason I bring that up is be careful early in the season. You can win money. I've used certain tactics in the past. I call them the false flag theory, Kevin, where I take a look at a game and be like, wow, why is this line moving and everybody betting one side? And you're seeing it already right now. Case in point, look at some of these games here today. The FanDuel Sportsbook opened the Milwaukee Brewers as a minus 130 price against the Chicago Cubs. Right now, if you want to get in on the FanDuel Sportsbook, you're paying minus 190. They also opened this up with a 7. And as we know in Chicago, if it's cold or the wind's blowing in a certain direction, that has effects here. It went from 7 to 9.5. If we take a look at a game which roughly was a pick'em between the Cleveland Guardians and the Kansas City Royals, now sits at a minus 124 price here towards Cleveland. If we take a look at heavy favorites here, the St. Louis Cardinals over Pittsburgh opens up at a minus 205, now sits at a minus 174. The reason why I'm also bringing this up is as the season goes on, these lines settle in because we know exactly where we're going. You have sharps betting today. You have squares betting today. You have Joes. You have pros. You have public. You have everything because of that market that opens up. Specifically, Kevin, like we talk about the Super Bowl, most people who has their favorite team, if you're betting, you're betting earlier in the season until your bank account runs dry after a week and a half. So I had fun. I'm just going to sit back and watch my favorite baseball team the rest of the year and not bet. But if we're looking from an April perspective, I can't say it enough. There's not a lot of statistics here. Have fun in April. Use the eye test. Hey, this team was good last year. This guy was looking good last year. He had a good spring training. I get all that. But from my perspective here, typically I need a month, Kevin, of statistics to back up a great analysis where I say, you know what, Kevin, this is one of those games to get after. We'll go over these games today, but also keep in mind, I'm a type of guy, Kevin, that loves to pick on a bad pitching staff. And opening day in Major League Baseball, you're getting aces on the mound all the way through. Yes. Okay, how about day two? You're still getting the number two all the way around baseball going head-to-head against each other. Lines will loosen up. Teams will loosen up. And also keep in mind, early in the baseball season, everybody thinks, including their fan base, yes, even you Pittsburgh Pirates fans, that you can make a run and get into the playoffs. And after 30 days, you realize that you said, hey, I thought we could be 16-14, and you end up being 8-22. Then things start to get interesting, and that's where you can settle into some of these lines. So case in point, public service announcement, have fun in April. Really get it started in May.
Yeah, and the one thing I noticed with last year when you were doing the team totals, and again, Donnie can circle things up, give you leans, right? But, you know, for baseball, you will see Donnie the play of the day, right? That, you know, it's an important thing. Fantastic. Like the target, he's locked in. It's tremendous. Mm-hmm. And you start to notice, like, man, this guy, it's like Tuesday and Thursdays here. Like, it's the way the rotations line up. That's when, you know, the Baltimore Orioles are live 8 days out of seven with that rotation. But most teams, Donnie, that's kind of the way the rhythms start to check in there. And it's a good example today, right? I mean, just look at some of the Corbin Burns, Shane Bieber, Max Fried, right? Valdez, Yu Darvish, Bumgarner. Like, it's a lot of big names on today's slate. Let's start with Brewers Cubs. The one thing to me is, and Donnie's kind of talked about this on the radio side, is April's tough because the weather isn't great. Well, if it's Wrigley and it's a 10, 9.5, moving around a little bit, well, that means it's all weather. If it's Burns and Hendricks, the wind basically must be taking the baseball before it even gets to the plate, Donnie, and going over the seats is my read on this. But Corbin Burns on one side of the mound here. Milwaukee is a minus 190 range here at Wrigley Field, which is that is substantial on the road opening day. What's your read here, Cubs Brewers?
I mean, it doesn't look like it's an easy read here. I'm going to take the dominant pitch here going against a Cubs team that's no longer the World Series champion Cubs, where everybody's seemingly left town. It does seem easy to do. And the only thing you can really go off of is how did these two pitchers do last year? And one was sensational, and the other one had an xFIP, Kevin, of around 5. So when you try to break it down to its common elements in baseball, if you have a right-handed pitcher, and again, we're using last year's statistics for the most part, a 5 xFIP here doesn't strike out a lot of guys. You're playing in Wrigley. Yes, it's going to be cold, but the wind is blowing out at 15 miles an hour, which makes a big difference. Get one up in the air, hey, this usually will be a warning track shot. 15 miles an hour blowing out, that's a home run into the webbing or the netting or into that first row in Wrigley. But if we look at where Hendricks really struggled last year, Kevin, was the left-handed batters. 344 plate appearances that he had against them, 364 weighted on base average, an ISO power number of 224, which is astoundingly bad. So if you look at the Brewers coming into this year, Wong lefty, Yelich lefty, Telez lefty, Narvaez lefty, and Peterson lefty. So you have 5 of those 9 eligible batters. Oh, it feels good, by the way. To get that out of the way, the first day of the season, where usually you would look at Major League Baseball and say, Donnie, you always talk about National League, 8 eligible batters because we just throw the pitcher out the window here. It's nice to say it now. Maybe I can even retire it, 9 eligible batters, because that's what you're going to get in each and every game. You don't have to differentiate between the AL and the NL if they're playing in that type of environment. It's wonderful to talk about it. But usually at the beginning of the season in colder weather, the pitchers are ahead. But also at the same time, Kevin, you're seeing some things, you know, shape up here where if it's bad weather, you're not going to let that pitcher go out there and go 7 or 8 innings at this point. And that's why you talk about Burns, which is the same factors that we bring up, which Donnie says, if you're looking towards the Cubs here with a team total, I believe it was 4 at FanDuel at a plus 102 price. Wait, Wind's blowing out, Kevin. Wrigley, 4 runs. And if I get 5, I cash in a plus money ticket. Yeah. Well, good luck with that starting pitcher and the bullpen coming in with Hader and Williams behind it. There's no way I can actually take the Cubs here on opening day. Even though you would like to take that big price, yeah, it's going to have to be Brewers for me on opening day here.
Here's my thing. And one of my favorite things in the world is kind of the Wrigley wind caps that I often find myself. Donnie, I get certain pet peeves. Like, Wrigley and the wind is become one of them. Like, there was a game last year that had, like, a total of 6. I'm like, oh, is it a 7-inning game? I was like, no. They're like, yeah, but the wind's blowing in. I'm like, what? No one's allowed to hit for contact in baseball? And the game, like, flew over the number. Like, Donnie, I don't care what the wind is if nobody can make contact with the baseball. Like, Corbin Burnes last year struck out 10 guys a game. Like, I get it. The wind's blowing out. What does it matter if no one can hit the ball? Like, I can't come up with a reason to not take the Cubs team total under 4. I can't come up with one, Donnie. Like, how many games last year did Corbin Burnes allow 4? And I know, like, obviously the bullpen can come into play here, but as Donnie said, oh, yeah, finally we got Corbin. Who's coming in? What? Put Corbin Burnes back out there, man. You got to be kidding me, Donnie. I think you line up here on a Cubs team total under.
It does make some sense, too, because you're taking a look at a guy. You're right. The hardest thing to do in baseball is put the baseball in play against a really good pitcher. So if you look at Corbin Burnes last year, an XFIP, this is astounding here. Like, anywhere around, like, an XFIP had, like, the 3.2 range is outrageously good. He was at a 2.49 last year and a strikeout percentage of 36%. That means over a third of the guys that came up to the plate didn't even put the ball in play. So then you start to say, okay, well, maybe it's a really good hitting lineup, but they could do some damage. We talked about the Cubs of the past, like the Rizzos, the Bryants, the Baez. Like, hey, man, they can really do something. Let me give you the anticipated opening day roster here for the Chicago Cubs. Ortega, Schwindel, Contreras, Happ, Suzuki, Wisdom, Hayward, Horner, and Madrigal. Most people are going to get in the Chicago area are going, hey, this is our baseball team. Let me read up on these guys at this point. This is not the old school Cubs that could bash their way around Wrigley Field. They're going to have a really tough time going. And yes, you have to get 5 runs out of the Cubs to cash that ticket. You're starting on opening day where bullpens are fresh, starting pitchers are fresh, colder weather where it's already hit, tough to hit as usual. You might be right here. Even though it's Wrigley with the wind blowing out, you can't take it under, Kevin. This is one of those games where you say, the Cubs are in the 5th inning. They got 2 hits, 2 base runners, no runs. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. By the way, this moved to 3.5 while we were talking about it.
Oh,
like,
did
people are listening, loving the breakdown, Donnie. Like, yeah, get us to the window right now, marching on up to the counter.
Yeah.
It's one of those scenes. Now, I don't want to kind of, squeeze anything in here in a minute. You can't really cap a game. One thing I'll let you know right now is this Guardians-Royals game is actually really interesting to me. Probably one of the forgotten moves of the offseason, which is understandable. Like, Zach Greinke is back in Kansas City, right? And I think for a lot of people, that there's some emotions there. I'm sure the KC folks are quite excited. And that's great. Shane Bieber is in Cleveland. I can't wait to see what happens with Shane Bieber. This is a guy that, if the Guardians tapped out, would be the most valuable player at the deadline, bar none. Forget an ace. That almost doesn't do it justice. Like, he is one of the 7 best pitchers in baseball, and you might be able to push that number up even higher. Shane Bieber and Cleveland this year will be a fascinating team to follow. It's a very bettable price on Bieber on the road in KC. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Mets in Washington, as Donnie mentioned. Not Scherzer, not DeGrom. Oh, yeah. And Shohei Ohtani's on the mound today. We'll be right back. This is the Early Line on opening day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get this train rocking here. There's still plenty to break down on this baseball board. The Royals host the Cleveland Guardians. First game with the new name. Jose Ramirez got a nice shiny contract, and their ace is on the mound. Greinke is back in KC, Donnie. The Royals a home dog slightly, and the total checking in between 7.5 and 8, what jumps out here for this AL Central matchup?
I like the way baseball actually did this year. And also, you know, I'm a big weather guy. Under 50 degrees at first pitch, 22-mile-an-hour winds blowing across the field. So if you're looking for some errors or some crazy fly balls, you actually might get that today. But good on baseball for – they say they don't do this, right? You have two baseball teams you don't expect a lot from. So what do? You line them up on opening day. You line them up on the first series. So maybe one team can win the series 2-1. The other team can lose it. Well, hey, look, we got to win here, and we can move on, as opposed to lining one of these teams up just to get smoked and have their fan base go, what did you expect this year? We're 0-3 already out of the gate. So I do like that here. Total in this game running in that 8 range here, and a slight favorite here for Cleveland because I guess, you know, pitching more than anything, Kevin, early in the season, they're projections. Zach Greinke, maybe 8 years ago. Okay, hey, that's great because he's back in Kansas City. Is that going to be given by, hey, but Greinke's back in Kansas City. Let's bet that angle. That's not an angle to bet in this one. You're just looking for a pitcher that can really do some damage against a lineup. And if you're trying to focus on hitters versus pitchers, it's Bieber versus that lineup. If you take a look last year, and again, we can't really use statistics from last year, but that's the only thing you can base it off of. I don't want to hear like, hey, man, his last two, you know, spring training starts, he looked really good. Well, who knows who's in that lineup he's facing and what pitches he's actually working on, vice versa, if he wasn't very good. So let's just take a look at Bieber, one of those high strikeout guys. 33% of the lineup faces him, strikes out. So again, that means a third of your lineup isn't putting the ball in play. And let's just look and focus on the Kansas City Royals. They didn't do much in the offseason. Look at the way they fared last year alone, Kevin, against right-handed pitching. Weighted on base average. We're going to get through all these stats all year long. We'll explain them both here on the early line and also on money line of what they mean and why I use them and how it pertains to games here. But weighted on base average means a lot to me. It's not just a batting average of, hey, put the ball in play. It weights what you're doing with your overall at bat per se. So 320, Kevin, is the Major League Baseball average for weighted on base average. If we're looking at the game today, I'm going to give you a list of what these batters did last year for Kansas City as they're going to go ahead against a right-handed pitcher today. 296, 323, 337, which is the high watermark. And then look at the middle of the lineup. 283, 301, 257, 271. And you're talking about strikeouts, right? There are four guys in this lineup that have struck out against right-handed batters last year over 27% of the time going up against a right-handed pitcher. And also, lefties in the lineup, Benintendi, Santana's a switch hitter, Mondesi and Lopez. So primarily a right-handed lineup here that you're going to get going against Bieber. Well, Bieber last year, a 262 weighted on base average against him from righties and a 118 ISO power number. It doesn't shape up all that well here. It's cold weather. It's two teams that don't hit all that much. So you probably would lean towards the under in this aspect. And, you know, taking favorites isn't great to do in April. But I would be surprised if Bieber goes 4 innings, gives up 4 earned runs, and Kansas City rolls them. Sort of has that same feel to me like the Milwaukee Brewers. Even though the Brewers are a much better baseball team than the Guardians are, you just lean on pitching sometimes early in the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot, as you mentioned. And I'm kind of glad you brought up spring training. Minimal range to go off of. I think it was like 13 innings, but it was like a 13 ERA for Bieber in spring.
Yeah.
I don't know, right? But like, is Shane Bieber going to be terrible? Unlikely. I'd rather back the home dog here, though. Greinke probably gets worse as the season comes on. I do think that there is something to kind of rolling with some home dogs very early in the season. I'm interested in one. Obviously, everyone talks about Bobby Witt Jr. Last year's home run king, I know he tied with Vladdy, Salvador Perez, outrageous, 48 home runs at the catcher position. I want to see what that looks like as well. I think the Royals have a lineup advantage here at home. I think I lean towards the Royals at a slight home dog price at plus 106. I want to move across the board a little bit because there's certain games we have to make sure we get to, and we'll kind of, you know, move back and forth. Angels, Astros, L.A., Ohtani's on the mound. Trout's back in the lineup. They're minus 126. The total's 8.5 here. This, for me, Donnie, feels, whatever. It might sound silly. It feels like a statement game for the Angels. Ohtani's on the mound. You're healthy on opening day. The Astros lost pieces. It's game one. You're in your stadium here. I want to see the Angels get this done here. I think the Angels will get this done here. I think they have the pitching matchup. And honestly, Donnie, they might have the lineup advantage here as well. I think the Angels get the job done at home.
They very well might, and that's going to be basically on the arm of Ohtani here because, again, we're just basing this off of no statistics but just that eye test, right? You still look at the Astros. To me, their lineup 1-9 is actually better overall than the Angels are, but I think you're getting the better starting pitcher. And sometimes when you come into spring training, as I said, usually the pitchers are ahead of the batters because of timing. You don't have hundreds of at-bats already. You might have only played 7 spring training games, and oh, yeah, you're not going to be up against McGill in this game, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments here. You're going up against Ohtani. Throws absolutely gas out here. Strikes out 30% of the batters he's faced. 3.79 xFIP number last year. He brings it. So coming right out of the gate in the Major League Baseball season, you're going to see some heat. But also, some of the games that we just talked about, right? 20-mile-an-hour winds, you know, temperatures that are going to be, you know, 50s, 40 degrees, you're not going to have any of that issues here. So you're playing in LA, you're going to have some hitting type of environments. But again, just look at last year. We expect Ohtani to hit. We expect Mike Trout to hit. But also, you know, I expect Anthony Rendon to hit. He was a disaster last year. Take a look at some of these guys, because we talk about that 320 weighted on base average, and you're getting a lefty that's going to be on the mound who was actually decent against right-handed batters. So if we take a look at lefties last year of what the Angels did, and it's not a great lot. I love the first four, and I told you that before, which is Ohtani, Trout, Walsh, and Rendon. But after that, it gets a little dicey. And even if we do start with Walsh, who is a left-handed hitter, he had 179 at-bats last year, Kevin, against lefties. His weighted on-base average, 242 with a strikeout percentage, close to 30%. So maybe he tees off and you got to wait on him for more of right-handed pitching. But outside of Ohtani and Trout, who did damage against lefties last year in their limited spot, at least for Mike Trout, only 47 at-bats. After that, Kevin, 242, 288, 309, 240, 320, 316, and 321 against lefties. And that could all change. All it takes is Valdez to go 5 innings, give up 7 hits, and say, hey, man, the Angels can really hit left-handed pitching. But we can only go off of statistics that we know over the past year. Mm-hmm. And I think this game more than likely lends itself, Kevin, to an under than an over here.
Interesting. Yeah, and certainly could, right? 8.5. And I think you're getting plus money, so it could get kind of make its way up towards a 9. We talked about this, too. Player props are going to become a part of the equation. How are you not interested in some of the guys in this game, man? Ohtani, Trout, Rendon, Bregman, Altuve. I mean, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker. How are you not interested in this game? We'll see kind of where everybody is slated in the lineup, right? Obviously, that'll make a big difference there. Like, Anthony Rendon for an RBI. What's that look like with the guys that are going to be right in front of him? Yeah. Those are the kind of numbers, Donnie, that we're going to be working into the equation, no doubt. Let's go to the Mets game. On the road versus the Nationals. For, you know, at one point, what was going to be the best team in the division versus the worst team in the division. The Mets number, and you could see it on our graphic, was at one point -134. It's down to -118. The total sits at a 9 spot here. It's McGill. It's not even Bassett. It's McGill on the mound for the Mets. It's a surprise, Donnie. Now, the odd thing is, if the Mets did lose this game, right, you're losing to your opponent's ace with, like, your 6th starter on the mound, so it shouldn't be doom and gloom. The doom and gloom is before the first pitch is even thrown, that this isn't DeGrom or Scherzer out there on the bump. What do you think about Mets-Nats?
Yeah, you're trying to find yourself taking the Mets because overall they are a much better baseball team than the Washington Nationals. But at the same time, do you want to bet on McGill as opposed to saying, hey, just pencil this one as a W if it was DeGrom or Scherzer? But at the same time, if you're not looking from a, let's just say, a money line perspective, Corbin, who in the past has been a very good pitcher, but last year certainly wasn't the case. XFIP there numbered around a 4.67, which is bad. But also keep in mind, he's a left-handed pitcher. He did very well, Kevin, last year against left-handed batters, but really struggled mightily against right-handed bats. If you look at his entire season there, 545 plate appearances against righties, Kevin, a 391 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 267. So case in point, if you line up righties last year, you shelled him, which I'm expecting, quite frankly, the same thing. And if you look at the Mets anticipated lineup for today, Marte's a taking, again, switch hitters also. Marte right-handed side, Lindor right-handed side, Alonso, Davis, Escobar, Canha, and McCann all from the right side. So if McGill can hold down a lineup with Washington, that basically the joke of it is, let me just walk, you know, Juan Soto, and I'll deal with the rest of the lineup. Now, they did have a nice addition in Nelson Cruz coming over now. The advantageousness now in the National League of saying, hey, we can't take guys like Nelson Cruz because they can't play every day. Now you put them at DH, which gives you a little bit of a chance. I don't necessarily love that Washington lineup either, but if I'm looking for an over on the day here in the Northeast and not great weather conditions, Kevin, it looks like this might be the game that can provide that because not great pitchers on the mound, and some of these batters can get after these pitchers.
Yeah, 100%. One interesting thing as well, you know, last year we had those hitter prop parlays there. I don't know how many Nationals you're lining up, Donnie, but if it's going to be anybody, it will be Juan Soto at that minus 290 number for a hit. It's the same number as Lindor. So those are already going to be able to come back into the equation there. He is the favorite to hit a home run of anybody in this game at plus 260 alongside Pete Alonso. One thing is, and I'll tell people this for your hitter prop parlays, because we saw this movie a lot last year. Juan Soto, it sounds great until he puts his face in the strike zone and watches a ball come across the plate and walks on five pitches, and then it's not as fun. Because, like, can I get, like, Juan Soto to get on base twice, Donnie? Like, can we get that? But you know what, too? Not to go off, like, track here, Donnie, but when do we get the first boost of the baseball season on the FanDuel Sportsbook there? Like, you had to think the Yankees-Red Sox boost would have already been out.
No, it would have already been out, and I'm looking forward to that. But as you said, like the only universe, like when I bet a team total, you bet a game total or a team, you see Juan Soto at the plate with a 3-1 count, you're like, all right, he's going to get on base. When you have a hitter prop parlay in there, 3-1, I'd rather be 1-2 because at least I know he has to swing at the next couple pitches. It's such a crazy mindset to have because 3-1 counts are supposed to be where you drive the baseball, but you're right. He just watches it go over the plate like, no, swing at that ball. And he takes his jog down the first base, which you would love if you bet the game. But when you bet hitter props, like, I can't. He walked twice. Are you kidding me here? When you use that, it's like, hey, man, he's on base twice. That's awesome.
100%. Let's sneak in, Donnie, the World Series champs here. The Atlanta Braves, minus 180 at home versus the Reds. The total is 8. Listen. This Reds team, I don't think the expectations are sky high here. This Atlanta lineup should deliver. Their team total is interesting at a 4.5 marker here. Some quick thoughts on Braves-Reds.
Yeah, I'm not a run line guy, you know, in the least here, but -1.5 on a home team. Usually like that to be the road team because you could, you know, if it gets a one run game in the ninth, you could tack on where you can't as the home team here. And we'll get into all of that betting analysis as the season goes on. But if I'm looking at the Reds, usually they would be a live dog, but it seems like they traded away a lot of good baseball players last year. But also, most people looking at Atlanta sort of have them on the back burner, Kevin. Oh, they lost Freddie Freeman. Let me take a look at this lineup here. Rosario, Olsen, Riley, Ozuna, Albies, Duvall, Dickerson, Swanson, and D'Arnaud. So even adding a supreme talent that's probably going to be coming back in the next couple weeks in Ronald Acuña Jr., this team is really good. They should handle their business against Molly on the mound today for the Reds.
Acuña is not even there yet. It's going to be wild. Other two games we didn't get to. And by the way, on radio, we will. Moneyline, 1 p.m. Eastern start time. Myself and Donnie. Cards, Pirates, Cardinals, minus 174 at home. Padres, a road favorite, around minus 150 versus the D-backs. Listen up. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day right here for the Early Line SiriusXM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network, 7 to 9 a.m. We always bring the heat, both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wall setting the table here before we hand it over to the morning after and Ben Stevens. It is a wonderful day to be a sports fanatic with the Masters and Major League Baseball getting underway. And today, welcome to the show. You need to listen up. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and even November. That's the Major League Baseball season here for us. This isn't a, hey, March Madness, let's get a quick 3 weeks in here and have a lot of fun. You have a long time to digest and enjoy Major League Baseball. April's always a tough month because there's a lot of volatility, and also betting markets here changing day to day. Kevin and I went over it already. So many games have already moved 20, 30, and 40 cents. Over-unders opening up at 7, ending up at 10. Get used to that here as these markets evolve before they settle down. And once we get to the months of May, June, July, and August, when you have all the statistics and all the categories filled up, you'll be able to hammer away and do it confidently. But I got to say, April is still a lot of fun to bet Major League Baseball. And when you're talking about outlets like the FanDuel Sportsbook and what they have to offer, you can get in on hundreds of different bets here and hundreds of different ways to have fun. You don't need a lot of money to do it. Pick a guy to hit a home run. Pick a guy to get one single, two hits, three hits, four hits. Parlay them together and still find your way into May when I start really getting into team totals and having a lot of fun, because when the statistics are there, that's where you can really fill up your bankroll. But also, when we talk about welcome to the show, the show begins here at the Masters as well. Tiger Woods is going to tee off here momentarily. The Masters is officially underway. So all the prep time that we did here at the Sports Grid Network, hope you guys watched along. So many good people giving out great information designed to make you a better gambler and a better handicapper, specifically in golf. I think we did a great job of that. But again, Major League Baseball starts today. It would have been nice to get a game around noon or 1 o'clock. We only have to wait till 2:20, and we are off and running in Major League Baseball season. You know who's off and running next year? Ben Stevens and The Morning After, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.